focus on the Ephesian text for our reading, and then we'll go from there. So let's now, brothers and sisters in Christ, let's hear the word of God. As Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and this letter was a circular letter, which means it was passed around, as most of the letters of Paul and Peter and John were. Let's hear now what Paul writes to children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
Please be seated. So I'm talking to the kids primarily this morning, but as you know, that doesn't mean just kids, it means all of us. But let me mention the first obvious thing in the text, which is really not so much for the kids, although it is, but it's for the adults, it's for moms, it's for grandmoms, it's for us as a church. Do you notice what Paul does here? It's one of those things that you may not notice. It's one of those things that's right there in front of your face, but you might miss it. Paul takes time in this letter that he wrote to the church at Ephesus, which would be read in the church, in the worship service like we're in today, to particularly speak to the children. You get that? There's no little editorial comment. Now, here's a little clip. Take this down to the nursery. Take this up to the cry room. Please don't misunderstand. I'm not anti-cry room. We got one right there. I'm not anti-nursery. But those should be very, very temporary. Kids do not learn how to worship in a room in the back with other adults trying to teach them how to worship. And they've got crafts and all that. I love crafts. I'm not even good with them. They learn how to worship being with God's people.
Amen.
So, just again, threw that in for free. I'm not going to charge extra for that today. But I do want you to notice that. Now, back to the children. And the young people. So, young people that are teenagers, preteen, and the word children bothers you, just insert, the cool kids or whatever you want to. I don't care. But just know that I'm going to primarily address the children. First of all, I want the children to realize how our Heavenly Father thinks of you. Our Heavenly Father has you in mind. How can that be? Well, think about it. About 1,400 years before Jesus came to this earth to die on the cross for our sins, that was a long time ago, God gave a law to his people. And he gave them laws about how we express our love for God. You shall worship God and him alone, the true God. You shouldn't worship God through idols. You should reverence God's name, and you should gather on the Sabbath to worship God. Those are the commands that God gave his people as a way of expressing their love for God. And then he gave six commands about how we love one another. It's interesting. Almost every one of those is very negative. Don't murder. Don't lie. Don't steal. Why would God be so negative? Because we're so sinful. Sorry, that's just the way it is. But interestingly, the first commandment of the ones to us and the way we relate to each other is for you kids. God thinks of you first before he talks about marriage and he talks about property.
talks about truth that we speak. He first spoke to you kids, you children. And he said, obey mom and dad. I know what you're thinking. Ah, pastor, you fooled us on that one. You told us God, our Heavenly Father, thinks of us. And that sounds so sweet, almost sentimental. You're kind of getting out of control here. And then you say he thinks of us by commanding us to do something. Yes, that's true. But did you catch what Paul said after that? Honor your father and mother. Paul's just quoting Moses in Exodus 20. And then he says this. This is the first commandment with a promise. Did you catch that? God gives the command to children to obey mom and dad. It's sort of a no-brainer, right? You kids know that. You all know that. If you don't know anything else, you know that God put mom and dad on earth to raise you. And part of that raising you, rearing you, teaching you, instructing you, involves your obedience to them. But look how kind the Heavenly Father is. He promises a reward. Now, when I was a young pastor years ago, I used to have hair. And I used to take my youth group to a conference. It was actually at Camp Hemlock. Now, nobody committed suicide there. But what a name, right? Who thought of that one? But the other people that worked with me, they were always wanting to give the kids rewards. And me, being a very pious and wise young pastor, I'm thinking to myself, why do you got to bribe the kids? Can't they just do what they're supposed to? And yet, look here. The Heavenly Father doesn't mind rewarding you for your obedience, even though your obedience will never be perfect. And yet the Father sort of stoops down like mom and dad do to you. You don't want to eat your vegetables. You don't want to eat. One of my grandsons, I can't say his name because I have two grandsons, and I told my daughter I would send this to her, and I don't want her to think I'm talking about her kid, but sometimes that kid won't eat anything except maybe pizza. And even then, he'll turn his nose up to it. So now my daughter and my son-in-law, you see, they try to reward him. And try to figure out, what does this kid want so we can get him to eat? You see the kindness of our Heavenly Father? That he would stoop down to you and say, look, you got to obey mom and dad, but I'm going to reward you if you do. So I wanted you to know that. Now, again, try to put yourself, kids, in the situation that First Presbyterian or First Baptist or First Methodist in Ephesus, you're at church. Maybe you've heard the Apostle Paul before preach. Again, we're pretending. He lived 2,000 years ago. He's in heaven right now. But just imagine. You're sitting in church, and the Apostle Paul has written a letter, and now it's going to be read in church. And you hear Paul say, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Doesn't sound like a very fancy deal, but it's like this. God is righteous. He always does what is right. He wants you to do what is right. So he says, obey your parents. It's the right thing to do. It's the godly thing to do. It's the thing, as Paul says in his letter to the church of Colossae, it's the thing that pleases the Lord. Now I'm going to do a quick Bible quiz. I don't want the children to... Okay, we will give a reward. Miss Lisa, I'm sorry to bring this up, but I've got a real problem. Miss Lisa has left Halloween candy in the office. And not only that, she has some on her desk with little Reese's. Do you like Reese's? Oh yeah, they're good. Well, it's sitting there, and I said, Miss Lisa, you got to get rid of this stuff. So, if you get these questions right, and your parents agree to this, you can run over to the office after the mission presentation, get that candy out of my office. It's disgusting. Anybody seen the movie Home Alone? Now, if mom and dad doesn't let you watch movies, that's okay. I can still tell you about the movie. It's a cute little movie. It was made years ago, but some of us like to watch it every Christmas. And so I watched it this year. And it kind of reminds us of a story of something that happened to Jesus. You see, the family is in such a hurry to get to the airport to fly to France, but the power knocked off the clocks. That was way back when you had to have a clock plugged into a wall. If you don't understand that, don't worry about it. Ask mom later. But anyway, the kids are all in the hustle and bustle to get in the vans and go. Now a neighborhood kid gets in the van, wasn't supposed to be there, but if he hadn't have done it, we wouldn't have a movie. So what they do is they count him, thinking it's the little boy that's actually upstairs asleep. And so now they've gone to the airport and they're flying to France, and there's a boy. He's in bed. He's home alone. And the whole movie is about mom trying to get back to him and all that good stuff. Do you know that something sort of like that happened to Jesus? We only have one story about Jesus' childhood. Do you know that? I'm not talking about when he's a baby. We have his as a baby and maybe even a little older in Luke and especially in Matthew. But nothing else in the Bible except the last 3 years of his ministry until he dies on the cross for our sins and is raised on the third day. There's one story. When Jesus was 12 years old. You see, when you were a little Jewish family and you didn't live in Jerusalem, you traveled to Jerusalem. It was the one place where God's people gathered for the big feast, the big worship service. And all the family had gotten there and they had a great time. And now it's time to go home. How in the world did Mary and Joseph forget Jesus? Well, Jesus had a bunch of brothers and sisters. He had a bunch of cousins. And Mary and Joseph just figured Jesus is with other people as they're all traveling home. You see, they all told each other. They're out on the playground. Hey, time to go home. Jesus isn't at the playground. Jesus is at the temple worshiping his heavenly Father. They're gone for 3 days. Jesus, you imagine? He wanted to go on Dr. Phil or Oprah and play the victim, except Oprah's not on anymore. But that's beside the point. But when Mary and Joseph got back to Jesus, Jesus didn't complain. They were all upset. They even blamed Jesus, even though he didn't do anything wrong. But Jesus didn't talk back. He didn't say a sass word. He just said, where else would you think I would be but with my heavenly Father? Now, at that point, you might think that Jesus would call the social worker and say, look, I can't go home with these people. They left me in Jerusalem for 3 days. He didn't do that. He went home. And you've got that little verse there at the bottom where it says, Jesus submitted to his parents, that is, he obeyed them. Jesus always and obeyed mom and dad always. Now that's a great example, but Jesus isn't just a great example. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Now, I've got to tell you kids some depressing news. I've got to tell you sad news, children. I don't want to do this, but it's my job. Children, Paul says in his letter to the church of Colossae, obey your parents. 40% of the time. Children, obey your parents on Mondays and Thursdays. Of course, Sunday when we go to church. Sounds like a good plan, 3 days a week. You like that plan? 3 days a week? Obey your parents in everything, and that implies all the time. Oh my goodness. Kids, I'm sorry. Let me just ask you, think with me now. Don't say it out loud. If we got a self-righteous kid in the room, he'll be like the rich young ruler and say, oh, I do it all the time. Okay, I don't want to embarrass you, so don't say that. Has there ever been a day in your life, ever, that you obeyed mom and dad the whole day? Yes, thank you, dear. She's like, no way, Jose. Or at least that's my interpretation. That's right. That's right. We're supposed to, but we don't. Oh my goodness. God is righteous and just. You see, when we disobey mom and dad, we don't just disobey mom and dad, we disobey God. How are we going to stand before God when we leave this world or Jesus comes back, whichever comes first, and answer for all of our disobedience? Oh, let's tell you good news now. Good news that most of you already know. That's why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come just to be a good example, although he was a good example. He came to live a perfect life. Do you know that Jesus said this one time? Jesus said these words. And Jesus said this to people that didn't like him. And people that they loved to find something Jesus did wrong. And Jesus said, I always do, always, always, always do what pleases my heavenly Father. Jesus never sinned. And when he went to the cross, to die on the cross, he paid for sin. Now that's Bible language. That's Bible lingo. You know, Christ died for our sins. Imagine that my hand is sort of like the cross where Jesus is. Now imagine that the sins of all the world, of all of God's chosen ones, all of his people, from Adam and Eve till when Jesus returns, all the sins of all of his people are in my hand. Let me switch them over here. Because here's Jesus on the cross. Here's the sins of his people put there on the cross. Jesus suffers for our sins so that you and I can be right with God through faith in Jesus, through turning from our sins, we call that repentance, and trusting in Jesus, we call that, of course, faith. Now, y'all are all good church covenant children. Why do I bring that up? Because the likelihood mom and dad are praying for this, grandpa, grandma, if they know Jesus, they're praying for this. The elders of this church are praying for this, for their families. We hope that you never know a day when you didn't know Jesus. We hope that when you're 10 years old or 12 or 15 or 18, when you come to meet the elders because it's time now for you to be a full, communion member and take the Lord's Supper, and the elders are going to say to you now, when did you become a Christian? And most of you, I think, will say, don't know. I got no clue. You see, when I was raised as a little kid, I had wonderful parents. But they did not teach me the gospel that your parents teach you. And so, when I was 14 and I heard that Christ saves sinners and I could repent and believe and know that I'm His, woo, that was exciting stuff. But you've been taught that since you were a child. And so you may never know in some traumatic way with all these emotions and all that that I trust in Jesus. The issue is now, are you really resting in Jesus? And Jesus alone? The great deal here is, I may not have done this sermon perfectly, but you've got mom and dad to help you think through it afterwards. Now I've got to talk to my teenagers for a few minutes. It's kind of hard. Teenagers have a rough time nowadays. Teenagers have always been tempted to do dumb sins, awful sins, sins that they just don't make any sense. And now we have these phones. And these phones can be so good to help us communicate with mom and dad, but they can also just be full of, please tell me that's not mine. Is somebody trying to make a joke? It's not my phone. That was embarrassing. If it was your phone, drop it and kick it. The kids, the young people, you could be controlled by a sin right now. And mom and dad don't know. And you may think, I'm too embarrassed. This is shameful. How did I watch this stuff on my phone? I shouldn't have. How have I read this garbage on my phone? I shouldn't have. And now I'm involved in these sins, and I feel like I'm a slave to them. Well, let me let you in on a secret. You and everybody else. Because we're all, outside of Christ, slaves to sin. But what you need to do is you need to confess that sin to God. You need to flee to Christ. And if you feel like your life is so messed up, you need to go to mom and dad and tell them, my life is messed up. I need help. And they will help you. And if you need the elders, or if you're a young lady and you need a godly woman, they will help you. Kids, obey mom and dad. You'll never do it perfectly. That's why you need Jesus. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you don't forget the kids. Help us all live for your glory. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.